This paper has been slightly modified to optimize your listening experience. While we have included a brief description of the figures and tables, any references, citations, appendices, footnotes, and endnotes have been removed. To obtain any tables, figures, quotes, appendices, full references and citations for this paper, please view the HTML or PDF version. September 2006. International Review of Research in Open and Distance Learning. Volume 7, Number 2. The title of this article is A Multi-Island Situation Without the Ocean, Tutors' Perceptions About Working in Isolation from Colleagues. The author of this article is Ilse Fouch, University of South Africa. Abstract. Distance education is generally seen as a very isolating experience for students, but one often forgets that it can be an equally isolating experience for teaching staff who oftentimes work in isolation from colleagues. The study examines the experiences of 9 tutors at the reading and writing centers of one of the 10 biggest universities in the world, University of South Africa, UNISA. The tutors work at different regional offices across South Africa. The study examines both quantitative data, closed-ended questions, and qualitative data, open-ended questions, obtained from questionnaires. The study seeks to determine to what extent administrative support, professional development support, and colleague support influence tutors' feelings of isolation. This paper takes the position that if feelings of isolation are curbed, staff retention will be improved, which means that the university can retain valuable experience. Findings show that contact with and collaboration between and among colleagues significantly decrease feelings of isolation. Other important methods of curbing isolation are regular training and continuous administrative support. Introduction. Distance education is generally seen as an isolating experience for students, but one often forgets that it can be an equally isolating experience for teaching staff, who typically have to work in isolation from colleagues. This is the case for many lecturers and tutors who work for the University of South Africa, UNISA, which with 215,825 registered students as of 2004, is one of the 10 largest mega-universities in the world. The study examines the experiences of 9 tutors working at UNISA's reading and writing centers at 10 different regional offices across the country. The study seeks to determine to what extent colleague support, and administrative support, and professional development support, influence tutors' feelings of isolation. This paper takes the position that if feelings of isolation are curbed, staff retention will be improved, which subsequently means that universities will retain valuable experience. Such action prevents a reinventing the wheel phenomena, where inexperienced and knowledgeable staff members are continuously replaced by new and inexperienced staff members. Such a phenomenon could potentially cripple an academic department that, ideally, should be inventing new ways of teaching and to generate new knowledge by building on previous experience. Based on the findings about the main causes of feelings of isolation, suggestions are made about how administrative staff, academic support staff and fellow tutors can establish a more supportive and effective working environment. Background. In 2004 and 2005, UNISA established reading and writing centers at 12 regional offices across South Africa. The aim of these regional offices is to provide administrative and learner support to students across the country. According to Sherman Oler, distance education represents a way of communicating with geographically dispersed individuals and groups. Since only a small percentage of students studying through UNISA have access to the Internet and many are scattered across the country, it is necessary to provide regional-level support. Unlike many of UNISA's American, European, and Australian open and distance learning counterparts, it is unrealistic for UNISA's Reading and Writing Center to use an online writing lab as its primary source of service delivery. As such, tutors must be appointed across the country. Whilst this arrangement is practical for many students, it means that UNISA's Reading and Writing Center tutors, to a large extent, work in professional isolation from their peers and colleagues. The number of students served by UNISA's regional offices varies. 7 tutors are appointed on a part-time basis, and 5 are appointed on a full-time basis. 5 of the part-time tutors also work part-time at other tertiary institutions. 7 tutors are currently studying for further postgraduate qualifications. The first UNISA Reading and Writing Center was opened in September 2004. In March 2006, 4 tutors had been working at the Reading and Writing Centers for longer than 12 months, 3 had been working at the Reading and Writing Centers for 3 to 6 months, and 2 tutors had been working at the Reading and Writing Centers for less than 3 months. The tutors are managed by one coordinator. The duties of the reading and writing tutors include 2 undergraduate 3-hour English for Academic Purposes, EAP, workshops per week, individual consultations with undergraduate and postgraduate students, facilitating the use of self-study reading programs, marketing the reading and writing centers to students at the various regional offices, and various administrative duties. Several tutors are also involved in postgraduate workshops in English for Specific Purposes, ESP, projects. All tutors are encouraged to do research at their centers, to present their findings at conferences, and finally publish their findings in accredited journals. The challenge for the reading and writing tutors is to stay motivated and successfully accomplish all of the above tasks, whilst working in professional isolation at their regional offices, often not seeing any fellow tutors for 6 months or more. Literature review. Traditionally, communication in distance education has mostly been technology-mediated. In the past, this communication consisted mostly of satellite broadcasting and audio conferencing. In the past few decades, online learning has largely replaced these methods of communication. Schrum and Oler describe a National Center for Education Statistics, NCES, study in 1997 which showed that instructors very rarely visit remote sites. Other means of communication such as toll-free telephone, email, or other online access models are used much more frequently. For the reading and writing centers at UNISA, this was not a feasible option, as many students, especially undergraduate students, which were initially the major target group, do not have internet access. In fact, many have never worked on a computer before. The reading and writing centers therefore decided, from their inception, to follow this advice of Wheeler. Instead of students going to university, the successful university of the future will go to the students. The mega universities have already achieved considerable success in offering cost-effective access to all comers. Many traditional universities have also started this process, investing in computer networks, developing human infrastructures to support the process, and creating new materials in preparation. The Commonwealth of Learning's first strategic plan discusses a similar situation, where the artificial and counterproductive distinction between distance and residential education is weakening due to the continuing global process of educational reform. Although integrating characteristics of distance and residential institutions and bringing human infrastructures to the students is currently the best answer in the African context, it still can be an isolating experience for those staff members who do not share the same geographical space with their colleagues. Such situations, where communications are difficult and professional contacts rare, often leave people feeling alone, with a sense of being forgotten. Weeks also reminds readers that isolation can be anywhere, in large urban areas even, as well as remote islands and archipelagos. Various recommendations have been made in the literature regarding curbing isolation in a distance education environment. The three main themes that emerge are the need for skills development, collaboration, and coordination. Skills development. The most recurring theme is that of skills development. According to Wheeler, without staff development, lecturers may be isolated in their work, and unaware of new methods, technologies, and applications. The Commonwealth of Learning's first strategic plan also stresses that training is a key function, because a lot of the personnel in distance education institutions come from other educational and professional sectors and require training to adapt their skills to the contexts of distance education and open learning. It also points out that because of the breaking down of the distinction between distance and residential education, a supporting process of skills development is necessary for both types of educational institutions, so that personnel at both distance and residential universities can learn how to function effectively in this changing environment. Participants in the Schrum and Oler study had a great need for workshops to assist in all development when teaching at a distance learning institution. Participants in the Lockwood and Latchim study observed that the training events had helped to strengthen regional, national and international understanding, foster groups with shared interests, and encourage collaboration between participants, all of which were highly valued. These researchers therefore suggest that both external and local staff developers should assist in training, and that training must be varied to include face-to-face delivery and online or distance education. Weeks lists the following as advantages for face-to-face, centralized courses, key people can be brought together. Contact with headquarters staff provides a good communication opportunity. A wide range of resources are available, there are a good mixed group for interaction and discussion, participants are away from distractions of regional office. There are opportunities for social activities. And such training raises the vision of participants beyond local horizons. Reasons why this should be alternated with some form of regional, online, or distance training include, regions are left without staff. The cost of transport and accommodation. And a temptation to cover too much to ensure efficient use of funds, which results in too much, too thinly spread and easily forgotten information. An interesting aspect that participants in the Lockwood and Latchim study pointed out, was that case studies and practices used in training are taken from developed countries. Clearly staff from developing countries feel that their situation is not the same as that of developed countries, and therefore it would be unreasonable and possibly counter-effective not to adapt training to the situation of the personnel being trained. Collaboration. According to Birds, the nature of work is changing, forcing a move from Fortist knowledge acquisition in the hierarchical structure to constructivist, problem-solving learning in flat organizational structures. This introduces another recurring theme, namely collaboration. Institutions and individuals working in isolation need to become more creative and proactive in solving new problems presented by a changing higher education environment. Wheeler feels that universities should collaborate in a distributed manner, networking to share resources and expertise, to exploit the growing part-time flexible learning market. Shrum and Oler agree that increasing collaboration and communication among all stakeholders is vital. In their study, faculty members involved in distance education felt that the administration should help them to interact with each other for the purpose of sharing insights and skills and to speak with a unified voice to articulate concerns. In a study about school clustering, that is, schools in the same area that are cooperating for events and activities for the mutual benefit of all schools, Ribcaster and Edwards found that this type of collaboration can help to counter potential staff isolation, offering, at the very least, an opportunity to discuss problems and let off steam with a wider range of teachers in similar circumstances. One impediment of collaboration might be costs, as the movement of pupils and staff is time-consuming and costly, and may lead to frustrations over the availability of shared resources. Using technology, that is, the Internet, is a more cost-effective way of solving some of the problems of higher education, including staff isolation. Exchanging learning materials, resources and subject expertise can be facilitated by technology. Coordination. Another need that staff working in isolation have is coordination, as Shrum and Oler point out. They specifically stress the administration of distance education in practical, real terms, including planning, training and facilitating. They recommend that a centralized coordinating mechanism be instituted at the University of Alaska to help with administrative and academic support, such as course sequencing, program planning, advertising, providing support, pedagogical, developmental, institutional, and technological, and evaluating distance education experiences. They point out the seemingly minor details can confound faculty and staff, and can be impediments to effective distance education. Surely the same will apply to many other distance education institutions. One seemingly minor detail that might impede the effective functioning of an educational institution is what Wheeler terms casualization. According to Wheeler, career uncertainty resulting from fixed-term contract positions is problematic. He points out that many universities in the US and UK appoint new staff members on contracts of 3 years or less. Already, Wheeler says there is uncertainty for the future of conventional university education, because many academics are uncertain of their own career futures. Such uncertainty stemming from job insecurity can be exacerbated in an environment where tutors are isolated from their colleagues. Staff members are the most valuable asset of any university, and for universities to survive, talented and innovative staff must be retained, and this may only be achieved by the offer of more security, higher rewards, and greater job satisfaction. Methodology. In view of the trends identified by the literature thus far, this study aimed to determine tutors' perceptions regarding administrative support, professional development support, and colleague support at an African ODL university, and the influence of such support on possible feelings of isolation experienced by tutors. The purpose of this is to make some suggestions about how administrative personnel instructors, fellow tutors, and coordinators can support tutors to overcome feelings of isolation and to become more interconnected. Using questionnaires, tutors were asked about their experiences working at such a large university. Questions are divided into three categories: 1. Administrative support, 2. Professional development support, and 3. Colleague support. The questionnaire consisted of closed-ended and open-ended questions. In order to obtain a holistic picture of the situation the tutors find themselves in, this study was designed using quantitative data, by examining closed-ended questions, and qualitative data, by examining open-ended questions. The qualitative data was analyzed by means of content analysis. Tutors' responses are thematically categorized and discussed accordingly. Analysis of data and discussion. Colleague support. In this section, tutors were asked several questions regarding the amount of contact that they have with fellow reading and writing tutors, and with their coordinator. This contact includes personal meetings, telephone calls, and email messages. Most tutors have little face-to-face contact with fellow tutors, see Appendix A. On a monthly basis, 3 tutors see none of their fellow tutors, 2 tutors see 1 fellow tutor, 1 tutor sees 2 fellow tutors, and 2 tutors see 3 of their colleagues. Tutors meet with their coordinator on a more regular basis, see Appendix A. The tutors here are divided into 2 groups, those who meet with the coordinator less than 5 times per year, and those who meet with him more than 20 times per year. No tutors indicated that they meet with the coordinator between 6 and 20 times per year. This finding may be explained by the difference in distance that tutors live from the central unit in Johannesburg, South Africa, where the coordinator works. Most tutors seem to keep more telephone and email contact with each other and with their coordinator. All tutors have at least some telephone contact with fellow tutors and with their coordinator each month, while some tutors make a big effort to stay in telephone contact with colleagues. 3 tutors call their colleagues more than 10 times per month, and 4 tutors call their coordinator more than 9 times per month, see Appendix B. Tutors reported receiving at least 6 to 10 emails from fellow tutors each month, and most tutors indicated that they make the effort to email their colleagues at least as many times. Only 1 tutor emails colleagues only 1 to 2 times per month. The same is true for emailing the coordinator, see Appendix C. The quantitative data show that tutors have more contact with their coordinator than with fellow tutors. As revealed in the qualitative data, none comment on their contact with their coordinator, perhaps because they see their coordinator's support is sufficient, but all commented on the level of interaction with fellow tutors. 6 tutors commented that keeping contact with colleagues curbs feelings of isolation. 1 tutor stated that collaborative instructional design and teaching and learning, the use of telephones and emails to bounce an idea to a colleague, and the support through materials and ideas through discussions curb isolation. Other comments include that being friends with colleagues, both local and regional, having a sympathetic ear, regular meetings, more contact, and taking responsibility for making contact contribute to curbing isolation. This corresponds to Ribcaster and Edwards' findings that collaboration has the advantage that staff members in similar situations can act as sounding boards for each other's problems. Conversely, it is a lack of contact with colleagues that increases feelings of isolation for many tutors. 5 tutors commented that factors such as physical distance from each other and also less interaction with tutors, not making your presence felt, colleagues not communicating with you, a lack of time to share reading center experiences with colleagues, and irregular face-to-face meetings increase feelings of isolation. When giving advice to fellow tutors who might feel isolated at their centers, 8 tutors stressed how important contact with fellow tutors is. Most tutors feel that it should be the impetus of tutors to initiate communication and network with other tutors. One tutor comments that you could email them and make time to meet, while another says that one should liaise with other tutors and find out what they are doing. It seems safe to infer that those participants who suggest that tutors initiate more face-to-face contact with colleagues, more than likely live close to these colleagues. For many tutors, however, self-initiated face-to-face interaction tends to be difficult. The following suggestion might be more useful for such tutors: get in touch via email or phone, which, according to Wheeler, is a cost-effective way of collaborating. Share frustrations or good ideas. Don't be anxious that your ideas or material are not good enough, just put it out there for discussion. One tutor advised that the coordinator should make available opportunities for teamwork. Schrum and Oler also found that faculty had a need for administration to help them to collaborate and interact with other faculty members. Administrative support. In this section, tutors were asked questions regarding the amount of support they receive in terms of administration, marketing, and resources. On a scale from 1 to 5, 1 equals not at all. 5 equals very much. 4 tutors reported that they received under-average support regarding general administration and logistical arrangements from their regional centers, and only 2 indicated that they received above-average support for such administration. 5 tutors reported that their regional offices provided them with under-average support with marketing their centers, and only 1 felt they received above-average support for marketing the center. 5 tutors reported that they did not have all of the basic resources they needed to run an effective reading and writing center, and 2 indicated that they did have enough resources to accomplish this task, see Appendix D. As one participant said, not having enough support from your regional office. Feeling as though you run into brick walls with regards to booking venues, obtaining vital resources, etc., can potentially enhance feelings of isolation significantly. One tutor noted that a lack of support from the regional office makes you question your place in the UNISA setting, as the importance of a reading and writing center is many times overlooked. Another tutor noted frustration at poor organizational systems, for example, not getting paid, not having any of the resources I requested despite persistent phone calls, emails, etc. One tutor noted that too many administrative duties make it difficult to find time to do research. This implies tutors do not receive a lot of administrative support from their regional office. Whilst it is often expected of tutors to undertake research, the amount of administrative duties that they must handle makes it difficult for them to find time for research. One participant noted that he puts in a lot of effort into marketing the center, but that the response from students is disappointing. This results in great frustration, especially if there is no one to help with such an endeavor. Another tutor noted that a lack of positive response from students, in a distance education setting, result in lack of motivation, and that this would probably be much less problematic at a residential university. Problems associated with insufficient resources are cited by 2 tutors, which they say increases the sense of isolation they feel at their regional offices. In terms of motivation, one tutor reported that sometimes the lack of resources, that is, not having an internet facility available at all times, or a printer, are all factors that can negatively influence tutor motivation. Other resources that are mentioned as lacking include learning materials, a computer, and computer programs. Put simply, insufficient resources might compel some tutors to seek greener pastures. Professional support. In the professional support section, tutors were questioned on the amount of contact that they have with colleagues working at other universities and how much further training, either self-initiated or provided by their department, they participate in. They were also asked how they perceive their own experience and ability compared to that of fellow reading and writing tutors and colleagues from other universities. 4 of the 9 tutors reported having fairly regular contact, both personal and professional, with colleagues working in the same field at other universities. Whereas 5 reported seldom, if ever, having contact with their UNISA tutor colleagues, see Appendix E. 5 of the 9 tutors reported their department fully supports their professional development. 1 reported that the department does not support professional development on any level. All tutors indicated that they do take some level of responsibility for their own professional development, with 7 reporting taking above average responsibility for their own professional development, see Appendix F. Several tutors noted that staying stimulated and on top of things, staying challenged and always having something new to do, learn or get involved in keeps them motivated and feeling less isolated from their colleagues. This finding is supported by Lockwood and Latcham, who found that training events strengthen group ties and encourage ongoing collaboration. Some tutors advised they are intrinsically motivated when it comes to doing research, and still want to undertake research in spite of administrative duties taking up much of their time. One tutor noted there is not much documented on Reading and Writing Center scholarship in South Africa, and it is important to conduct research that will inform policy and feed into future research. It also helps to let people know what we are doing and to share experiences with colleagues in the field. This finding supports the study's quantitative research results, which indicates most tutors take a lot of responsibility for their own professional development. A few tutors indicated the need for more formally arranged meetings and opportunities for teamwork between tutors, such as staff training sessions held at least once a semester. Tutors also reported that liaising with colleagues at other institutions is important. Over half of the tutors indicated that their department supports them sufficiently on a professional level, but nonetheless some report there is still room for improvement. In terms of experience and ability, 4 of the 9 tutors in this study reported that they have more experience and or ability than their fellow Reading and Writing Center tutors. None reported having less or much more experience and or ability, while 2 indicated that they do not know how they compare with their fellow tutors, see Appendix G. When asked how they would compare their experience and ability to that of colleagues working at other universities, only 2 indicated that they are more experienced and able. 3 reported that they have the same, less, or much less experience. And 3 indicated that they do not know how their experience and ability compares to that of colleagues working at other universities. The fact that 2 tutors indicated that they do not know how their abilities and experience compare with that of their fellow tutors suggests they might not have enough formal contact with each other. As mentioned earlier, one factor that might influence tutors' motivation is casualization. One tutor indicated his frustration at working only part-time and would much prefer working at the Reading and Writing Centers on a full-time basis. Even so, tutors appointed on a full-time basis are not appointed permanently, but rather on fixed-term contract positions. Casualization might be advantageous to universities on a short-term basis, mainly financial, but in the long term this practice could seriously erode staff morale and result in universities losing valuable, hard-to-replace experience. 2 tutors advised that attending conferences, reading papers, doing research, and publishing are all good methods to curb feelings of isolation. The quantitative research shows that 1/3 of the tutors do not know how their experience and ability compare with that of colleagues working at other universities, see Appendix G. As such, following the above-mentioned advice might help these tutors to feel more secure about their abilities. Conclusions and recommendations. Weeks asks, how many have to sink before we realize that such losses in people cannot go on? Wheeler concurs by stating that universities will only be able to survive and thrive if they, amongst other things, aim for greater collaboration and invest more in people. From the review of the literature review and results from this study clearly supports these statements. According to the data, collaboration is most significant in reducing feelings of isolation amongst tutors. Collaboration, however, goes hand in hand with professional development. Once launched into orbit, educational personnel still need the occasional booster rocket. Participants in this study certainly seem to agree that extra training is vital to remain fueled and motivated when working somewhere in orbit. Weeks reminds us, however, that in-service training is only one form of professional support and that it is usually not enough, because staff members typically only go to one in-service course, or less, per year, and still remain feeling left outside of orbit of the larger system. Even modest gestures can go a long way to help tutors to feel like they are part of the system. Gestures such as replying to letters, returning phone calls, sending supplies on time, putting ourselves in their shoes and understanding their problems, being contactable and sympathetic, etc., cost nothing except time. Although not stressed as much in this study as in other studies, coordination of staff members remains the focal point in decreasing feelings of isolation. Like the Sherman-Oler 2005 study, participants in this study also indicated a need for the central unit to foster teamwork between tutors and make available opportunities for professional development. The central unit should also help in administrative matters such as receiving resources on time and having, at minimum, basically equipped centers. In addition, the central unit should guide and experience tutors in matters such as program planning, advertising, and course sequencing. Even if all of the above are in place, a seemingly minor detail like job insecurity could compel tutors to look for jobs in a more stable and secure environment. If universities are to survive, they must invest in their most valuable assets, their staff. The most effective way of achieving this is providing greater job security. If staff turnover is rapid, a university will likely have staff who feel unsure of themselves and their jobs, a dynamic which further isolates themselves from each other. They will be eager to move to a more secure environment. Conversely, if there is a solid foundation, that is, permanent staff, this would better support research, an important determinant of funding and the most important method of achieving credibility and legitimacy in the greater academy. Taking the above into consideration, some suggestions are listed as tactics to help curb staff isolation. Administrative staff. Continue supporting tutors with administrative matters, even if the tutors are not new staff members. Such support should include help with general administration and marketing. Help with administrative matters will give tutors more time to do the research necessary to keep up the academic standards and reputation of their centers. Take a proactive role in ensuring that tutors have the basic resources they need to do their jobs effectively. Academic support staff. Arrange at least one, preferably two, in-service training sessions per year for tutors. This would serve to increase collaboration between staff members, increase motivation to conduct research, which will help reduce feelings of isolation. Reply to emails and phone calls promptly, send supplies in a timely manner, and be willing to help tutors solve problems that they cannot solve. Initiate contact with tutors regularly, to foster a culture of staying in touch not only with academic support staff, but also with fellow tutors. Encourage tutors to contact academics at other institutions, that is, listservs, conferences, etc., as this creates a culture of collegiality and collaboration, which in turn, decreases uncertainty about how one compares with colleagues at other institutions. Fellow tutors, make a point of calling, emailing and, if possible, meet with tutors at other centers face-to-face, especially new tutors who do not yet have a support system of colleagues to rely on. Also, remember that your colleagues will not contact you if you do not contact them. Build friendships with colleagues. They are a safe audience with whom you can solicit feedback on ideas, writing, problems, etc. Find out about opportunities for professional development, for example, short courses, workshops, seminars, etc., and invite colleagues to join you. Also, share what you learn with your fellow tutors. Forward interesting articles and other material to colleagues. They might soon start doing the same, which could decrease the time you spend looking for articles and other material. Get involved and initiate new programs in which you can collaborate. This is good for your own professional development, and your colleagues, and decreases feelings of isolation. It is people who get things done, so it is essential to know how to bring out the best in people, to understand their aspirations and expectations. By supporting staff members who often already work in difficult circumstances and in professional isolation from colleagues, universities can retain and strengthen the valuable resource of experienced and motivated staff members. An initial investment of time and money in existing staff members could potentially save universities much more in terms of time and money needed to recruit and retrain new staff members. This is the end of a multi-island situation without the ocean, tutors' perceptions about working in isolation from colleagues. The text format of this article is available on the IRODL website www.irodl.org. Goodbye.